Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Mesa City Council study session for May the 7th. All of our council are present. The first item on our agenda today is to review the agenda for tonight's council meeting. So, council, if you could please refer to that document. Currently, we have one item off of the consent agenda. That's item 10. So let's see if that remains the case. I know we did take off of the agenda the introduction of the utility rate issue. Is that, Mr. Brady, we removed from the agenda, and we're going to have a special council meeting to notice that hearing this Thursday.
Correct.
Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. Does that make sense, everyone? Okay. So the agenda items are, first couple are liquor license applications. Item 4 are various purchase contracts. 5 are various resolutions. 6 is to receive public comment on various resolutions. 7 is introducing ordinances and setting a public hearing. And then 8 is taking public comment on various ordinances.
Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Brady.
We had a follow-up. There's some questions that were raised on 8B. So if I could ask RJ to come forward, just if we get, I think there's just some questions about why we were changing the speed limit on Crisman and this part of Crisman. And I think there's some explanation here that we wanted to share with the council.
Thank you, Mr. Brady. Mayor, members of the council, good evening. The proposed ordinance that's before you is meant to establish a speed limit on Crisman Road from Ray Road south about 1,200 feet. If you read the staff report, we reference that currently in the city code, all of Crisman from the north city limit to the south city limit is 45 miles an hour by code. But because this section of roadway, as the Eastmark development continues, is actually a collector street and not an arterial street, a speed limit of 35 miles an hour is more appropriate.
We just want to clarify that, because Crisman, most people associate Crisman as being a major arterial,
correct,
which it is most of the time, mm-hmm, except when it goes through a neighborhood.
That's correct.
So this is for
1,200 feet. And as the road continues to be built, as the Eastmark development continues, we'll come back and propose additional 35 mile an hour sections of that roadway.
So just anticipating that kind of development along, mm-hmm, Crisman there, we've lowered the speed limit.
Correct.
Is it commercial development at that point still, or is it shift to residential?
After that? Yeah. Well, it's residential at that section, but then as it continues south.
Full mile down to Williamsfield to be residential on both sides.
Okay. There you go.
Except for maybe right at Williamsfield and the prison.
Okay.
I just wondered if we were creating a speed trap, but it sounds like people should know that when you've got houses on both sides, you should feel like a residential street.
Yeah, it would be...
Sorry, RJ, it's only going to be a two-lane road?
Two lanes in each direction, so right. It's a four-lane.
So, a little
so it's the look and feel of the road is a collector and not an arterial. And obviously, we'll post signs, so we're not trying to trick people or right, catch them.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Makes sense. Agenda item 8, again, is to receive public comment and take action on various ordinances. 9 is conducting public hearings. And like I say, currently the only item off the consent is agenda item 10A, which is calling for putting the sales tax question on the ballot for increased public safety staffing. So, yes.
Mayor and Council, on that agenda item 10, I proposed some changes, a revised resolution this afternoon. I provided it to Council, and just for the public, I'll sort of describe these changes. And also just, you know, the revised resolution is on Legistar right now, so the public has access to the revised resolution, but also summarize all the revisions right here. From the original resolution, the revisions are, as to the third recital, which was a litany of what TPT or sales tax is, it was deleted as it's unnecessary, and we're trying to just shorten the resolution. As to the fourth recital, we changed the word used to raised solely. As to the fifth recital, there was a litany that said personnel, equipment, facilities, and other costs incurred. We switched that to personnel, equipment, training, and related cost. And we mimic that to be consistent within the ballot language and into the tagline. We added a new recital, which says that whereas the City Council, as part of its annual budget process, will have an annual plan that provides how these additional funds will be expended for the following fiscal year. This is to ensure transparency going forward as to how these funds are to be utilized. And then on the ballot language itself and the tagline, the same change is made for consistency. The word facilities is removed and the words training and related cost are added, and that's both on the ballot and into the tagline. And so when you vote at the formal council meeting, I just ask that the vote would be on a motion to approve the revised resolution. The revised resolution is what is in Legistar. It's what, as I just described, and so I'd ask for the vote to be on the revised resolution, Mayor.
Great, thank you. Mr. Brady, do you anticipate a staff presentation on this? I think we're expecting maybe some public support, maybe some public safety unions or other folks to step up and express support for this resolution. So it does need to be off the consent agenda to allow that discussion, those statements pro or con to take place. But we have, it might be good for Mr. Pombier or one or both of the chiefs just to give a short teeing the issue up. I'd be happy to do it.
We can do what we did last week, Mayor. We can just review what the increase will be to, and then go back into, we can pull up the presentation from a couple weeks ago where we talked about what's included in there and the positions and things like that. We can do that. We can be ready by the time we get upstairs.
Okay. I'm sorry to throw that out at the last minute.
Yeah, but I can probably do that, Mayor.
Okay. Thank you. Does that sound appropriate, Council? Okay, thank you. Any other questions regarding agenda item 10A? Yes.
Jim, so does the way that the legislation or what you're writing, does it protect the existing budget and then lock in the additional budget that'll be allocated, or does it just protect the newly created monies that'll be generated from the sales tax increase? Does that make sense?
So, Mayor, Councilmember Whitaker, I don't know what you mean by protected.
Let me rephrase. So if the budget today hypothetically was $50 million and the new sales tax made it $75 million, is the language written so that the budget is at $75 million, or is it only protecting the additional $25 million in revenue?
So the budget and the sales tax increase are two separate concepts, and so realize this is for a sales tax increase. That's a specific issue, and so this increases sales tax for a specific purpose, as was done in the past in the 06, and I believe also in 1999, and so that sales tax is for a very specific purpose, and that's why it says solely for in, I think, three places. And basically, it's solely for the police and fire departments, for personnel, and to equip and train them.
We currently do.
But it doesn't somehow separately lock in the budget any more than this council could right now vote to try to lock in a future council on a future budget years or decades from now.
We've been doing this for over a decade on the current public safety sales tax. And we've always been able to share. And I think that's the idea of the plan. It talks about a plan being presented to council each year. So that we can discuss, here's how much is being generated by the sales tax, here's what's going to be funded.
So it's more of a general sales tax increase. It's not necessarily specifically allocated for one specific. It's just basically going into the general fund to be allocated as
necessary. Go ahead.
No, it says, I think, three places. It says that it is solely to fund Mesa Police and Fire Medical Services, personnel, equipment, training, and related cost. It is solely for those purposes.
And my point is, we have a sales tax today, sometimes referred to as quality-of-life sales tax, but it is today, it continues as a public safety sales tax for positions in the police and fire departments even today. And we've been doing that for more than a decade.
Okay. Thank you.
We also have a third of a cent that's dedicated to streets.
Yeah.
And thou shalt not spend it on anything but streets. And so it's accounted for separately. And
we even show it on your sales tax reports, right? It's broken out, shows the general fund sales tax. It shows the street sales tax. And it shows the quality of life, or now public safety sales tax, that's currently collected. And this would be another line on that.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? And again, obviously, we'll have the opportunity to discuss this upstairs as well. All right. If that concludes discussion about upstairs agenda, the next item on our agenda for this meeting is item two, and that's to hear a presentation and provide direction on two proposals for the development of city-owned land adjacent to Riverview Park. Mr. Dubjeniak,
we're afternoon, looking forward
Mayor. To hearing about this. Thank you.
Good afternoon, members of council. Let me first introduce J.D. Beattie, with project manager with the Office of Economic Development. I'm responsible for keeping this project on task. But we're here really to talk about and receive direction from you on two great proposals we've had on the city-owned property, affectionately known as the soccer fields at Riverview. With the surging demand that we're seeing in, for Class A office, we're fortunate to have received interest from really two quality and two very experienced developers for this site. And upon reviewing the information today, what we're looking for from you is direction on the proposal to move forward as the preferred developer on the project. The next step at that point will be to bring back a memorandum of understanding to the council on the 21st of this month going forward. Okay? Getting? So it sits at a major intersection of the 101, 202. It is one of the most visible gateways into the city itself. And over the years, we have received interest from everything from car auctions to arenas to mixed-use developments. But really, I think since it's anchored by one of the premier spring training destinations in the whole country, we're also seeing it as a destination for other city events. So there's approximately 18 to 20 city events that go on throughout the year as well. The Cubs currently park approximately 1,700 cars on the two parcels that you see outlined on the site. It is also governed by a facility use agreement, and we are required to provide 2,500 parking spaces to the west of Riverview Drive, which would include primarily the paved lot that you see up there. But both the developers have agreed to abide by the facility use agreement. We have kept the Cubs informed and up to date going along. I will say their number one concern is fans' game day experience and parking as it relates to those game day experience. So a stadium of 15,000 people, we have averaged a lot more than 1,500 cars, or 2,500 cars, I should say, west of Mesa, Riverview Drive. So I think it's been important that we work on parking as we go forward with the developers as we accommodate that. There's also a lot of infrastructure and utilities present at the site. There's a 36-inch sewer line that cuts across this field. There's a big water line that cuts through. There's a Verizon cell tower. There's even a airport sound monitor, which was new to me at this point. So all of those things have to be dealt with as part of the development. So with the growing success of the area and the region-wide demand for Class A office, I think it's important that the vision for the development meets that high-quality standard that really what we talk about Riverview is all about. So we've received proposals from two developers, the Boyer Company and a team of the Lincoln Property Group and Harvard Investments. So J.D.'s going to walk you through the details of the development, and then we'll summarize it at the end.
Thanks, Bill. Mayor and Council, as Bill mentioned, just want to review the developers and the responses we've received from them and the site plan so you can see what they've each shown for a vision on this site. So the two companies, again, Boyer and Lincoln Property Company, partnership with Harvard Investments. Boyer Company, if you're not familiar, they're based out of Salt Lake City in Utah. They've developed over 35 million square feet of property since 1972. So they've over 40 years of experience, and they currently have over 500 million under development. They're a very experienced and capable developer, as is the Lincoln Property Company and Harvard Investments. Lincoln Property Company is a national and global brand that's developed real estate projects throughout the world. They're in the top 10 for total amount of office square footage managed in the world, and have a lot of experience both nationally and locally with their regional office, which has developed well over 5 million square feet in the region, which many of which is in the market. locally, you might be familiar with some of their developments already. The Boyer Company has developed the Rio 2100 development, which is just to the west of the park, or of Sloan Park, and they already have about 450,000 square feet of existing Class A office space, two hotels. That office space includes Freedom Financial and the Benchmark Electronics headquarters, which together are about 3,500 jobs. They're also working with the city of Tempe on a international biomedical technology campus, which is designed to total about 1 million square feet on 18 acres of city-owned land. Lincoln Property has done a lot of work in Mesa as well and the area. One of the main projects you're probably familiar with is the Waypoint development, which is just to the east of here. They've done 260,000 square feet, which includes the American Traffic Solutions headquarters, which is 600 jobs. And they are also working on the Grand in Tempe, which is a huge development totaling 1.8 million square feet upon once all phases are completed of Class A office space. They just broke ground on phase two of that complex, which is 352,000 square feet, and they've also developed the Broadway 101 Commerce Park. Also, I need to mention they've both provided letters of financial capability to us, which we've received, which gives us confidence that both developers would be able to move forward and execute this vision on the property. So to review the specific developments, this is the site plan proposed for the Boyer Company. As you can see, it's four buildings total with three parking garages to support it. The first phase would be office building number one, which you can see at the northwest of the property. It's 160,000 square feet with supporting surface parking and would also mean constructing the three-story or approximately three-story 1,200-plus car parking garage, which you see immediately to the west. Once that's complete, they would then move on to phase two, which is 200,000 square foot office building. Phase three, 210,000 square feet and six stories. Phase four, which is a 168,000 square foot building. They would also develop those parking garages in the center as the campus builds out to meet tenant needs. They also added some features like, as you hopefully can see there on the screen, two lakes as you kind of enter the Paseo with a nice roundabout feature, and then a shaded common area between phases one and two. They would also add about 300 surface parking spaces once all the garages are built as well to incorporate buildings. Okay. Here's a design rendering of what they propose the building might look like. They also would be calling it the Exchange. This is the logo that they provided for that. And then that brings us to Lincoln Property Company and Harvard Investments proposal. Also a campus-like feel, different layout of buildings. Their first phase would be a four-story, 225,000 square foot office building with an accompanying five-story, 2,400 car parking garage, which again would be built on the street level city parking, which is the same as Boyer, if I hadn't mentioned that. After that, they'd move on to phase two, which 337,000 square feet. Phase three, another 337,000 square feet. And phase four, another 450,000 square feet. The east garage, which would be built out based on tenant demand, but the first garage, again, is being built in the first phase. As you can see, they've added a central water feature to create more of an urban-type campus environment. Although it's tough to see from the site plan, those actual kind of squares on top are rooftop amenity decks, which is similar to what they've implemented in other developments. And they're also adding 160 surface parking spaces, as you can kind of see in the central driving area. And all these buildings are about 56,000 square feet per floor plate. Here's some renderings of what it would look like from the air and kind of how it relates to the surrounding property. One more, again, just a different angle of what the development would look like. And you can kind of see the rooftop amenity decks there a little bit better.
Okay.
And I'll pass it back to Bill.
So that brings us to the summary page. And you can see, I think both developers have proposed a high quality project that would bring a level of a Class A office to the city that we certainly have not seen in quite some time. I think given the premier site that this is, it's important that the vision for the site sort of matches what we're trying to establish here and draw into the city. Class A, high quality, high wage jobs are really what we're after here. Now, I want to point out a clarification. Under the Boyer Company and Lincoln, there's talks about square footage, and there's a little bullet about minimum improvements. The first building is 150,000 square feet for Boyer. The first building for Lincoln is actually 225,000, which is the minimum per building. The overall development is projected at 1.35 for Lincoln and 738 for Boyer. But the point is the minimums per building are just a little bit different. I want to make sure we clarify the points because they're talking about minimum developments for the whole development on one side and per building on the other side. So I just want to clarify that bullet that's up there. So sort of reiterating where we started, as arguably one of the premier gateways into the city, I think the development of this should be highest character, and the Office of Economic Development would like to recommend Lincoln Property Group and Harvard Investments as the preferred developer on this site. We believe their overall capabilities, experience in the market, an international reach within their organization, and most importantly, the unique vision that was shown up on the screen align with what is most needed for the site. And with that, we'll take any questions.
Thank you. Council, questions for these gentlemen?
I do have some. Thank you, Bill and JD. How many total parking spaces for the Cubs did each developer offer?
Yeah, so as the minimum improvement in the MOU, Lincoln would be providing a minimum of 1,500 spaces for the Cubs, and Boyer will be providing a minimum of 1,200 spaces for the Cubs, which would be accommodated in the, presumably, the West Garage, but also details to be worked out later.
Okay. I know one thing, and thank you for keeping me in the loop with this, because one of the things that I took in account was the job opportunities for the development. So, you know, 1.3 million square feet translates to approximately 6,500 jobs at the location. The 738,000 transferred to about 3,900 jobs. So to me, I mean, that's a big, important concept for this part of Mesa. And so with your recommendation, so you've recommended Lincoln Properties as the preferred developer?
Correct.
Okay. If there's no other questions from council, I make the motion to approve that Lincoln Properties be our for the developer.
Thank you. There's a motion and a second to go forward with the Lincoln property proposal. Any additional discussion before we vote on that? If not, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Congratulations to Harvard Lincoln, and our thanks to the Boyer Company for submitting a very well-qualified proposal.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor Council.
The next item on our agenda, item three, is to acknowledge receipt of minutes of boards and committees. Is there a motion? Thank you, Mr. Glover and Mr. Thompson. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Next item is to hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Council, anything you'd like to share with us? All right. If not, Mr. Brady, can you help us know the schedule of future meetings?
Yeah, just Mayor, I think as we mentioned earlier, we'll be having a study session this Thursday, May 10th. At 7:30, and that will be followed by a public safety committee meeting.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. It'll be a study session and a special council meeting on Thursday morning.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions or concerns, council? If not, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting. Thank you, Mr. Thompson. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And we will convene shortly upstairs for our regular council meeting.